This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, you guys, it's Gina Crash. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland, your host for the next half hour or so. Really excited to introduce you to our guest this morning. I'm joined by Candace Jackson, JDLLM, Vice President of Public Policy and Strategic Partnerships for the Greater Baltimore Urban League. Thank you for joining us, Candace.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
And there's an accent over the E for people that are going to be reading our article we'll write about this online.
Yes.
And you're going to show me how to do that on the keyboard.
I will before I leave.
And before we even get started, it's very important. I know that, tell us what JD and LLM stand for in the law field, because these are two amazing achievements and it all has something to do with what you do for Jeeble.
Okay, great. So, well, some backstory. My mom had 5 degrees, so I love having alphabets after my last name. So a JD is your law degree in America. So anybody that's a lawyer has a JD. An LLM is another year of law school. It's an additional specialized year of training. Mine was in international and comparative law with a focus on international arbitration, negotiations, and mediation. And I actually got to study in Oxford for a little bit last year to complete that degree. So it's just another year of law school. It's a master's of law. And there's one more degree above that degree, which is called an SJD. You pretty much have to write a book in the law and kind of contribute to the academy in that regard. I haven't decided if I'm going to go for that one.
That's another set of letters you'll be working towards. But another important set that you've landed on is Jeeble, which, of course, is a shortcut for the Greater Baltimore Urban League. And for those that don't know, and maybe even for you, Candace, because every quarter we kind of, part of our partnership here with Odyssey Corporate, with the National Urban League and also Odyssey Baltimore with Jeeble, is to sort of share the spotlight on Maryland with you guys to sort of introduce everybody to different members of the team and how they contribute to the overall mission of Jeeble. And we partnered with the National Urban League back in 2020. Locally, Odyssey teamed up with Jeeble. We're advancing racial justice and equity in the communities that we serve together using our platform to raise awareness about the great work that you're doing in the community. So first and foremost, I just want to thank you for being here and let you know how much we value that partnership and how this is honestly my favorite and most important thing that I do.
Oh, great. Oh, really. My gosh. Thank you so much. I mean, I can definitely say in the crazy times that we live in, this is always refreshing to see people continue to stick with their word, be courageous, and, you know, continue to think about the larger community around them and how to serve them and work together collaboratively.
Absolutely. And if people aren't as familiar as we are, and you are, of course, with the work of Jeeble, just kind of give people sort of a rundown of the importance of it. And you're in your centennial year.
Yes. We've grown up a little bit. We're 101.
Oh, you're 101. That's right.
We're the big 101 now.
That's
so
right.
The Greater Baltimore Urban League was founded 101 years ago in, of course, Baltimore, Maryland. We are a civil rights nonpartisan organization that has worked for economic policy, social justice, human rights, civil rights here in the state of Maryland. We are headquartered in New York City. However, we have over 90 affiliates across the country. And we continue to do great work to make sure that everyone is hopefully able to get a job, find out where the resources are, and be able to have a good quality of life.
Yeah. And how are you guys handling the new political climate without getting political, of course? But you are, as you mentioned, a nonpartisan civil rights organization, and things are kind of changing a little bit in the landscape. So it's making I would imagine, would you agree, it's making your job even more critical than ever?
Very critical. Thank you for saying that. A lot of people don't understand how politics work. They know how they feel about certain issues. They know who may appeal to them as a candidate or as an elected official. But you don't necessarily know your rights per se. We have civics that are no longer in the school system. So you don't necessarily know how you can enforce and fight for your rights and stand up and protect your rights. So what we do at GBUL, we make sure that we are aligned with community partners when it comes to advocating for certain bills that were ahead and in front of the Maryland General Assembly this session. We also serve as a social service agency within Maryland for Marylanders. We work with one of our pathways for success. It's called the HIT. Vision under our CEO, Takiya Warden, and it stands for Healthcare, Hospitality, Infrastructure, Technology, and Tourism. With HIT, we are equipping individuals with the skills and resources needed to achieve economic independence. And so we are looking and continuing to work with our strategic partners when it comes to providing jobs, providing training, providing access to some wraparound services to make sure that not only do we host or co-host a program or partner with an organization that host a program, but we make sure they have what they need to get to the program. We try to eliminate any burdens that may come their way.
And we'll definitely be talking about your new CEO and your new leadership direction coming up a little later. But I think a good way to get started, too, is like exactly who you are, your journey with GBUL and your skills, obviously, with all the letters after your name. You know, I love that you're applying your law degree to help others. And it's like we just want to know exactly what your role is that you're tasked with managing. And how did you get here? You know, how did you decide that this is what you wanted to do with all your training and background and smarts and all that?
Well, I think it's a natural fit. I have my political science degree. That was my first degree. I love to learn how government works and what are the nuances to understanding how to work, even when you don't agree. Find the mm-hmm. common ground where you can agree, yep. and then try to make some progress every time you come into those spaces. The next degree, of course, the law degree. You need to understand how the laws are made, how to not manipulate, but how to be persuasive in trying to advance laws, protect laws, and also ensuring that people know what their rights are.
Yeah.
So with this role, it pretty much encompassed that. I've done and served on several boards for different organizations. I have worked in the political space on campaigns and on education budget reforms in New York State. I've worked on several cases on a variety of topics and in a variety of places, public and private sector, that I won't go into today due to confidentiality agreements.
I gotcha.
But I have seen how the law can work for you and actually work against you. And mm-hmm. so this role in a time where there is such an affront and such a vulnerability to everyone at this point, no matter what you look like, who you worship, where you work, where you're from, there is just an attack on people's rights. And so this role allows me to use my education and my passion for public service to make sure that people are able to find out what resources they still have available to them, hopefully to grow more and to know that there is an opportunity to advocate for themselves and to allow our organization to advocate for them as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to work on a few bills this session to make sure that some of our basic rights and some issues that our small business owners are dealing with are protected, to make sure that everybody is protected in just their everyday life, walking down the street, going to the store.
Yeah, thank you for fighting for those rights. And how long have you been with the Greater Baltimore Urban League? And did you find them or did they find you, or were you always sort of a member and aware of what they were doing? But how did you have this really important role with them now?
Yeah, they found me. It's been a few months, not too long, but I've been making a great impact. I'm the first person in this particular policy role within the organization.
Now, that's
the organization,
great.
This affiliate has always had, of course, a political presence and, you know, done voter registration and done advocacy work. work during the pandemic. They were doing COVID vaccinations and allowing people to help with that, doing things with the census. They've always done things in the community in that space. But having somebody in the actual Baltimore headquarters focused on policy, that was a strategic move by this new CEO, Takiyah Worden.
Yeah, and I can't wait till we get to talking about her as well, additionally, too. So you mentioned this legislative session of the Maryland General Assembly. What sorts of things are you working on now that are going to help Marylanders in the future? What are some of the things on your docket that you're, you know, really literally in the middle of right now? So thank you again for joining us, because I know you could also need to be in Annapolis in any given moment.
I'll be going later today.
Down on Orchard Street, you know, you're everywhere.
Yes.
But, you know, that's part of your job. And we really are glad that that's a wonderful addition to GBL, because you're really going to make a lot of moves.
Thank you. So we've been, I've gotten to know Annapolis very well and where to park and where not to park. Thus far, they've not given me a ticket, thank God. But I've been able to speak on behalf of small business owners, those that have gone through some of our programs with the Greater Baltimore Urban League, who have faced on the other side of completing our program some issues with financing and lending. And so
that could be like the Black Restaurant Accelerator program,
yes,
for instance.
Yes. And so I was able to go and testify and represent the Greater Baltimore Urban League on the Small Business Truth in Lending Act, mm-hmm, that was before the House this year. Also, I was able to speak on the Unmask Hate Act. And so that was a really good one to our national offices, of course, doing that nationwide with other affiliates. But that was a really great one to speak on, because it didn't say, despite what social media social media viral video said, it didn't say that you couldn't wear a mask or this was an issue. It was saying that when someone is already perpetrating a crime or harassment and they're covering their face, they can't do that. There's another penalty on top of that, because what's happening, and we've seen that in different places like Cincinnati and, you know, across the country, where mm-hmm people are going way back in time, we'll say, and trying to do things with hoods on or mask on and scaring people who are just going about the course of their day. They're doing it for intentional intimidation. And so we were aligned with that one. We were also, I just actually submitted testimony this month for the Maryland Civic Excellence program, which would allow for civic education in our high schools. It would allow for our high school students, no matter what high school you went to get 30 service learning hours, also learn civic education and do something within their community and get a seal when they graduate on their diploma. Because there has been a lot of civic education, as we knew when we were younger, and my parents knew when they were younger, traditionally taught in schools in one particular way, you have a generation or two who don't necessarily know how government works. And
right,
so that comes down to bite everybody later when you're confused about the messaging that you're hearing or who has the power to do what. And every day there's something new. So we've been able to help with that one as well.
Yeah, that's really important, because if you are feeling kind of like powerless or you don't know where your voice can be heard, a good question would be, how can Marylanders get involved with bills during the legislative session?
That's a fun question. So if everyone could go into their wonderful internet, Beyonce's internet, and put in My MGA, on the top right corner, you'll see an icon that says My MGA. With that, you'll register and you can do a witness sign up. When you click on witness sign up, it will connect you to all of the committee meetings on the Senate or House side that are coming up within 48 hours. It'll list which bills they're going to hear, and you can either upload a written testimony, do a testimony via Zoom, or do one in person. So I've actually done testimony this session all three ways. One, there was a snow day and I said, ooh, do I want to get stuck out there and then have to come back? And what will traffic be? Are the roads clear? I'll do it on Zoom and wear a suit. So that's what I did. I've also done it in person. And so it allows everybody. And I've seen people who have done testimony from their car, driving to pick up their kids, to say, hey, this bill, whatever it may be, matters to me and it's impacting my life in this way. That allows people to, anybody in Maryland, to actually advocate for something that they believe in. And it helps so much. Outside of the emails and the phone calls to your representatives, it helps so much because it is hard sitting in a representative space as an elected official and trying to figure out not just what your own bias may be, but what your constituents want, not just for reelection, but what are they actually needing? Because you can say, logically, the data shows this, but I'm hearing from people who are currently suffering on this issue. How do I vote? Where does my vote need to go? And they really are influenced heavily by whoever goes to their offices to meet them. Mm-hmm. It's free. You should go. Or actually emailing them or calling them to let them know how these issues affect them, because they may not be thinking about that when they're in those committee meetings.
Yeah, it's true. And MyMGA, that stands for My Maryland General Assembly, I
yes.
would imagine. Okay,
yes.
Perfect. So people can just, you would recommend just Googling? Or
just Google. It will come up. You can sign up. And again, you have 48 hours prior to the committee meeting to sign up to provide any testimony. If you just want to watch the committees discuss what's happening, that is available on YouTube. It is free. It is live streamed.
Oh, wow.
You can also see former committee meetings on YouTube as well. You just have to type in Maryland General Assembly and whatever committee you're trying to think of or trying to watch. So judiciary, ways and means, finance. Yeah.
That's really fascinating. I think, would you imagine a lot of people might not be aware of that knowledge?
So many people don't know.
Yeah.
you know, if you're you're testifying. And one thing I will say, there were some connectivity benefits that came out of the isolation of the pandemic. And one of them was it made access to information more available. It really did. People may not recognize it because now they can go physically to places. However, it allowed people to keep some organizations and entities to keep those type of means available, because you have people that are homebound. You have people that don't have transportation to get to Annapolis, but they can stay abreast of what's happening and hear who said what and what questions were asked and what was the tone in the room by really watching it.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, testimony and that kind of thing can be done on Zoom, as you've done for weather reasons or whatever. So that does give, rather than just canceling it, rescheduling it, delaying things from actually happening, I think it makes us all a little bit more productive.
Yes.
And accessible. Accessibility yes. is key for sure, whether that's lack of transportation or technology or whatever it might be. So what sorts of events have you hosted? Or I know you've been here since, what, August or so, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
So you hosted or community collaborations, you know, as VP of Public Policy and Strategic Partnerships. That's a very important title. So with that, what are some of the things that you're doing to sort of get the community involved and to raise awareness about GBL and particularly this aspect of the work that you do on behalf of citizens?
Okay. Well, of course, since 2025 started, it's been an emphasis, of course, on working with the Maryland General Assembly, doing the introductions, because I'm the first person in this position.
Yep.
They need to know that I exist. And so direct their emails to me and not necessarily the CEO or both of us, so that they know not to put everything on her plate when I'm available for this specific task.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in terms of meeting other legislators and letting them know these are our issues, we would love to work together. Letting people know that the Greater Baltimore Urban League serves the Greater Baltimore region. So pretty much all of Maryland. We kind of let PG County and Montgomery County, since they're around the Beltway for DC, go to the Greater Washington Urban League. But technically speaking, Maryland is under
Under your umbrella.
Yes, under our umbrella. And so talking with the representatives and finding out what the issues are, and even some bills that may come to us or some issues that come to us, hearing from them directly, like, hey, the state of Maryland is dealing with these issues with the budget. There's going to have to be some cuts.
You're right. Yeah.
How is it going to impact services? Yeah. Do we need to have more coalitions and collaborations to get things done in the same way or have a greater impact? And that's what's happening. So most recently, we had an event this month where we collaborated with the Black Girls Vote organization.
Oh, yeah.
As well as the NAACP, the city chapter, the county chapter, and actually one of their state members as well came. And we had a mobilize and activate night in Annapolis that allowed us to bring our membership from Baltimore and actually across the state to Annapolis. We were able to have a policy briefing with our representatives, and our representatives, especially from the Legislative Black Caucus, came through. They were able to say, hey, this is a bill that I have. We have crossover week coming up. We have all these issues we're focusing on. This is what this bill means. Please email. Please do this. And so it was a great touch base for people to see their representatives in person, talk to them, ask them direct questions, as well as get information from the representatives' mouths directly about what some of the nuances are, maybe what some of the pros and cons of some of the issues that we're all facing. And we had food and, you know, it was a great time to just network for anybody. And we had wonderful college students from Maryland that came through and were able to network. And I gave out my number to several. I think I have some new LinkedIn friends who may want some mentorship or some letters of recommendation. I'm not sure which, but they were just excited to be in the room. And we were trying to connect them with professionals because, you know, our membership is from all walks of life.
Oh, yeah.
Who can help mentor them and help guide them in their collegiate journey. And so they were excited to just be in the room because so often we don't think multi-generationally when we're planning events or when we're having these things where they're going to be directly impacted by the decisions we make today.
Oh, yeah.
The same way I'm a millennial. I will be directly impacted by the things that are happening today, you know, in the next 10 to 20 years when I have children and raise them. So it's something that is important that, you know, more people have a seat at the table, more age groups, all the different demographics so that we can hear, oh, this just sounds a great idea in theory, but what about this? And it's like, oh, we didn't think about that. Yeah. You weren't at the table. You weren't even in the room. We didn't even call you.
You're right.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, you're giving them access to change makers. How often are you in a group with these powerful people that you can actually make change together?
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. And the fact that you're the first in this role in the 101 years of the Greater Baltimore Urban League, that has to be so inspiring. How does that make you feel when you're out there, you know, working on behalf of others? It's got to be so rewarding.
It is. I am a member of a few organizations that are the first. One is my sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. But so we're used to being the first. But I find that it is it's a responsibility. Whenever you're the first doing anything, you have to think not just about you, but you have to think about the vision that you're trying to follow under the CEO, our HIT programs and those collaborations. You have to think about the importance of the work that you're doing. I believe that I am a servant leader and public service is my calling in life. And so when it comes to no matter what job I've held, it is always how can I make an impact? How can I help somebody and leave this role better than I found it? And so for me, I'm getting to kind of carve out what this looks like is something that has been exciting, challenging at times, because it's not like, you know, we're coming in and America is on this great high of, you know, we have all the money and everybody's holding hands and singing songs and there's no crime.
Yeah, here
right.
You go.
It, you know, so, you know, you have to kind of deal with the challenges that trickle down to nonprofits.
Oh, yeah. And that's a really good
point. You have to deal with, you know, I've attended city council meetings. I've spoken with the city council president for Baltimore and the mayor, and I've attended events to just make sure that we are creating those partnerships and letting them know that we are still doing the work in the community. Our kind of sibling organization, although completely separate, is the NAACP.
That's right.
And so people sometimes will confuse the two or need to know what the distinction is. And so we have to work with that. We have to also work collaboratively with other civil rights organizations, such as the NAACP, because a lot of the work requires us all to work together instead of trying to do things separately.
That's true.
We need that impact. And our memberships are, you know, well informed on what they want to see. And they always want to be active and activated to protect their communities and, you know, enhance their neighborhoods as best they can.
Yeah. And people might, their experience with the NAACP might be seeing Dave Chappelle receive an award recently. And he was reminded how that the role of the NAACP and the Greater Baltimore Urban League and the National Urban League are all more vital than ever, really, honestly. Like, this is the time. And that's really inspiring. And you mentioned Takiya Warden, your new CEO and president. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting her yet, but I already know, even without asking this question, there is a new direction and vision for the organization, isn't there? And we have about 5 minutes left just so we make sure we get everything in there that you guys want to talk about this quarter. But how have you been inspired by her? For one, she found you. So she's obviously serious about elevating GBL's presence and making it even more vital to the city of Baltimore and beyond in the state. You know, I know we share a lot with the Beltway around us, like you said, in D.C., but, you know, tell us a little bit about her and her direction and why it's so exciting working under her leadership as well.
It's exciting to work with anybody who has a passion for the work that they do and they are a visionary in what they see. And so our conversations professionally have dealt with strategically, how can we make Greater Baltimore the Greater Baltimore Urban League even greater? How can we expand its impact that it's currently had and just reach more people across the state, across different counties? And so hearing her vision, also knowing her personal testimony, which I will not divulge so that she can share when she comes on.
That's right.
A teaser. She has a reason to be passionate about the work that we're doing. And I think we have both had our work experiences and our life experiences at various socioeconomic levels and in various types of communities. And we see what great resources can do, how they can lift people out of situations, and that impact can be not just for that individual, but for generations to come. So that's something that we're really, really passionate about.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys work really well together. And I believe she's also an Alpha Kappa Alpha, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah. So it's sisterhood in a whole different way.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing. So if you've been talking about so many important things today. So let us know a little bit more about how we can find out more about the Greater Baltimore Urban League online, on social media. What are some of those platforms that you're really focusing on? Again, under the new leadership and direction, what do you find is the most effective way to reach people in the community that need help or may not realize they could get help from the Greater Baltimore Urban League, or even just to find out where your next fundraising event is?
Yeah. So as always, I will give the website, which is gbul.org, on the internet, Beyonce's internet. From there, you can get all of our contact information, as well as there's a donate button. Please donate. The money goes directly to the community in terms of programming for our Saturday leadership program to train high school students, no matter their GPA, on college preparedness and professional preparedness. And that's once a month. We also have opportunities from our BRAP program, which allows entrepreneurs to create their own restaurant businesses. And so that's amazing. We are also working with computer literacy. So again, donations, we're a nonprofit. So whenever you hear nonprofit, think they need your money. In addition, our social media has GBull on the Instagram, as well as Facebook and LinkedIn. That will give you clues into our upcoming events, and as well as registration links. So that's what I would suggest.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And you also have your Voices of the People podcast.
Yes.
Which is also, you can find all this at gbull.org. And you know, your workforce development program, we've had them on in the past doing great work with our returning citizens. You just do so much. It's like, how do you find the time and stay motivated? It's really important. You're helping so many different people, and you probably feel like there's more that need your help that you haven't gotten to yet.
That's always the case. But I think if you can say every day that you've helped somebody, or you've pointed someone in the right direction, or you can kind of see the impact or the progress of programming, that's something that's really important. We have a strategic plan that says there'll be a policy summit. We have a strategic plan that says there'll be a State of Black Maryland that we will also publish to kind of let people know, based on this demographic in various counties, this is what life is like, or these are some of the disparities that exist. So we do want people to be informed so they can advocate for themselves, join us in advocacy, and just try to make sure that everybody in Maryland is doing better.
Yeah,
going forward.
Absolutely. I think it was Ronald Reagan who said, you can't help everybody, but everybody can help somebody.
Absolutely. You know, everybody can do something. I believe in any organization or group or club. Somebody can check the flyers. Somebody can make the flyers. Someone can make the phone call. Someone can make the cake. There's something for everybody to do. No matter how big or small, it's all really important.
Absolutely. And is there anybody you want to thank, or any final, we're in our final minute, so is there anything I haven't asked you that you really wanted to mention before we wrap up?
I'd like to thank God, my mom, my father. No, I would love to say our CEO, our team at GBull, our communications chair, Manisha. She's someone who's actually been really great with making sure I get all my requests in and advertised appropriately. Just our whole team. But they've been working really hard through so many different ups and downs, and making sure that the people are served in Baltimore.
Yeah, and thanks to Manisha, she put us in touch too, and yes, introduced us to Candace Jackson, who we've been talking to today. JDLLM. And if you listen to the whole interview, you know what that stands for. And what does HITT stand for again? We talked about earlier. Don't tell me. It was with two T's, and something you're working on with Takiya Warden, your president and CEO.
Yes, it is two T's and two H's. So it is healthcare, hospitality, infrastructure, technology, and tourism. Those are areas that our CEO has deemed great ways for us to partner with different organizations and companies in this area to get people jobs, as well as to focus on what this region is great at, what we excel in.
Yeah, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. And thank you for all you're doing in this legislative session of the Maryland General Assembly. And thank you for letting Marylanders know how they can get involved as well.
Thank you.
And use their voice. Thank you so much, Candace Jackson from the Greater Baltimore Urban League, proud partner of Odyssey Baltimore. Thank you all for listening to this production of Odyssey Baltimore.